day, and welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. Have you filled up your gas tank lately and noticed something a little different about how fast the numbers go flying by on that display? Gas prices have been rising for some time in our country, and they are now skyrocketing since the Russian invasion of Ukraine and the implementation of sanctions meant to hold Vladimir Putin accountable for his invasion. Americans are paying a big price for all of that right now. All of us are pouring more money into our gas tanks, pouring more money into our cars. And to help ease that burden, public officials are starting to talk about ways to back the price down. One of those ideas is to suspend gas taxes. There are calls on Congress to implement a federal gas tax holiday, which would save drivers 18 cents a gallon. And there's legislation in Lansing to suspend Michigan's 27 cent per gallon gas tax as well. You put those two things together, and that would actually amount to significant relief. Governor Whitmer has indicated, though, that she would likely veto a suspension of Michigan's gas tax, and there are others who say that this is just bad policy. That, yes, gas is expensive. Yes, we are going to endure the consequences of our sanctions on Russia, but suspending gas taxes is not the way to put more money in people's wallets. So what is the solution? What are some ideas to deal with this? That's where we begin the conversation today. And here to talk about what's happening at the pump and what suspending gas taxes could mean is Crain's Detroit Business Senior Editor for Politics and Policy, Chad Livengood. Chad, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Hey. Good morning, Stephen. Thanks for having me.
So I want to go back just a little bit to begin today and talk about why gas prices are so high right now. We know that the Russian invasion of Ukraine is one of the drivers, but gas prices have been going up for some time. And I'm certainly seeing some of my friends in the GOP trot out charts that suggest gas prices started rising when Joe Biden, a Democrat, was elected to be president and took office. So let's go back to when this began and why.
Well, a lot of it is the simple rules of supply and demand. And demand was down in part because of 2020, when none of us were traveling as much and fewer of us were driving to work every day. And so oil companies responded in kind by lowering their production. And that has continued as many of us continue to work from home. We're not traveling as much. And we're starting to do more now that the Omicron variant of the COVID-19 virus has kind of subsided. In general, production was down, and then there's more transformational things going on in what we're consuming as far as energy. More and more vehicles are being powered by electric batteries or natural gas powered engines instead of your traditional oil and gasoline mix. And so there's consumption changes going on and consumer use, and then production is different than it was 4 years ago. OPEC nations are drilling and producing less oil than they were during the Trump administration, and so there's a whole bunch of global factors that are changing and driving the price of a barrel of oil right now.
And this Russian invasion, of course, is an accelerant to all of those factors. I mean, things have gotten much, much worse in a compressed period of time. But talk for a second about the broader economic implications of soaring gas prices, especially the kinds of spikes that we've seen since the Russian invasion. This is really putting a pinch on people's wallets, but there are other parts of the economy that are affected as well.
Yeah, I mean, you think about there are petroleum products and just all kinds of things. I mean, that we use. Obviously, we as Americans consume a lot of plastic and use a lot of plastic. But it's also affecting our auto suppliers right now in Michigan that make plastic components for automobiles and for airplanes and for medical device companies and all the sorts. And so that is adding additional pressure to the economy and to the cost of things. We already were facing 7-8% inflation this year before gas topped $4 a gallon. And so this obviously will add more pressure to that. The cost of transportation of goods, which has already been hampered by labor shortages and truck drivers, and a blockade we had just a few weeks ago at the Ambassador Bridge and on the Windsor side, the prices of moving goods were already exponentially higher than they were a year or two or 3 years ago. And now you add in the fuel costs and that puts even more pressure on all ends of the supply chain, as far as the movement of goods, parts, and for us, for Michigan, finished vehicles, and the cost of getting a car from the Jefferson North, getting a Dodge Durango from Jefferson North to a dealership in Tampa, Florida, has gone up significantly, and that will add more pressure to the bottom line of auto dealers and the automakers and everybody in between that makes a dollar off that Dodge Durango.
I'm talking with Chad Livengood. He's a senior editor for politics and policy at Crain's Detroit Business. We're talking about the sticker shock that we're all experiencing at the pump right now. Gas prices are through the roof since the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Also have been rising steadily for some time. We're talking about the efforts to bring Americans a little bit of relief, both from Washington and Lansing. We want to hear from you as well. Give us a call. Tell us how these high gas prices are affecting you. Are you having trouble even filling up your tank, being able to come up with the money to drive the way that you normally do? Or are you somebody who is scaling back the amount that you drive, trying to drive less, trying to find other ways to get around? Of course, always a challenge in Metro Detroit because of our really shoddy public transit system. Also, give us a sense of whether this is causing you to think about other kinds of lifestyle changes. Are you somebody who's maybe thinking about electric vehicles as opposed to ones run by the internal combustion engine? Is this enough to drive you away from gasoline for good? Also, give us a sense of what you think of these ideas to suspend the federal gas tax or the state gas tax or both in order to give us all some relief at the pump. Do you think that's good policy? Do you think those are temporary solutions that we could put into place? Or do you think that that's bad policy, that it's just not a good idea to withdraw those monies from the treasuries in Lansing and Washington? As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to the WDET Facebook page and put comments there. Go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we'll work you into the conversation. Chad, before we get to listeners, I want to talk about these ideas to suspend the gas tax, both in Washington and in Lansing. Governor Whitmer says she doesn't think it's a good idea, and she'll likely veto the legislation if it passes. Tell us why.
Yeah, so Michigan has a per gallon tax on gasoline and diesel fuel. It's 27 cents as people might recall, went up about 7 cents a gallon back in 2017. This was part of the road funding plan the legislature put together back in 2015 that raised the fuel taxes to both be at 27 cents a gallon. For the longest time, we had a 19 cents a gallon gas tax and a 14 cent a gallon diesel tax. And this was known as diesel parity to bring them in line. And it actually inched up 1 cent this year because of inflation. They built in for the first time ever an inflationary index in the price of gasoline or in the tax on gasoline so that it would go up with inflation. Because the problem is we've had a gas tax in this state that has been losing value every single year. That 19 cents was in place since 1998, and in today's numbers, that 19 cents should be like 36, 38 cents a gallon. But nonetheless, Governor Whitmer is opposing this proposal that has already passed the Republican House and is probably going to get a vote in the Senate as soon as tomorrow, because it would blow a $725 million hole in the state's transportation funding fund. And so that's $725 million less money this fiscal year for repaving roads and rebuilding bridges, adding to the debate we've had for years in this state that we are already underfunding our roads. By all estimations, we are underfunding roads by $2 billion. So you can kind of imagine what would happen.
$2 billion every year, too.
Every year.
Right.
Yeah, it's a significant amount of money that we are not putting into our roads, and you can find that evidence of that by driving any of the mile roads in the suburbs or drive on Mound right now in Detroit, and or a lot of other roads. I mean, we and right now we're at 26% of all roads are considered in good condition. And 46% roughly of roads are considered in fair condition. And so what happens every year is, this is sort of science, fair condition roads become poor condition roads. And we can't, basically based on our current funding system, we cannot keep up with the amount of fair condition roads that are turning poor every year. There's plenty of barrels out there, and I know there's be some listeners that will say, well, they're widening I-75, they make money for that. That's that kind of a different can of worms, but just in the general roads that you drive on every day to get to work, to school, to the daycare, to the store. Those county roads, in particular, local roads, city streets, they're the ones that are in worse condition than any other sort of sets of roads in our state. And that is because we simply just have built a state we are not paying for anymore as far as maintaining and keeping up. And so that's one of the big reasons why, you know, suspending the gas tax for 6 months is not a really great idea. Now, there is money laying around Lansing right now, federal stimulus money and surplus tax revenue from income and sales tax from all those stimulus checks in 2020 and 2021 generated a lot more sales tax than ever seen before. Right. Above budgets, there are several billions of dollars available that if the legislature and the governor wanted to suspend the gas tax, they could just appropriate money from the general fund and backfill the transportation fund, and then MDOT and ever all the cities and county road commissions, they wouldn't lose a cent. But that's an appropriations decision that has to be negotiated between the House, the Senate, and the governor in order to happen. the other thing that's going on here in Lansing is that the legislature also sent the governor a $2.5 billion income tax cut, both in cutting the rate and creating a child tax credit and boosting the minimum deduction for seniors so they could write off much of their pensions income. And so that bill is also sitting on the governor's desk. She has till Monday to sign or veto it. She's already signaled she's going to veto it. So then you can ask a question. Well, can we really afford a $3.25 billion tax cut? Like, is that sustainable? And the answer, in a word, is no. We have a surplus right now, but it's not a reoccurring surplus, right, that's growing the state coffers year over year. It's a lot of one-time money, again, from stimulus checks and unemployment checks and such that people got for a couple of years that pumped money into the economy, but it's not year over year revenue growth. And so we're kind of at a point where the legislature is back to debating road funding. And that's probably a good thing, Stephen, because since the governor kind of gave up, remember, you might just kind of peel back and remember, winter of 2019, Governor Whitmer, one of big, huge policy proposal right out of the gate was proposed a 45-cent gas tax increase. And
to help pay for roads, right?
To help pay for roads, yeah, and to generate that $2 billion that and close that gap. And that $2 billion, by the way, if we spent $2 billion a year for the next 7 years, we would get to, the MDOT says we would get to 50% of good roads. Wow. 50%. We're not even anywhere in the ballpark of two-thirds or three-quarters of the roads being in good condition. So that's just how far behind we are. So then Governor Whitmer struck out on the gas tax increase, and we had the big budget showdown in the fall of 2019. She vetoed spending bills and eventually they got things back together. But then the governor went she calls it, fix the damn roads, and I call this get out the damn credit card, which is what the governor did. She went and used the state's bonding capacity to borrow $3.5 billion. To pump into state highways and state trunk line roads like Michigan Avenue, Woodward, any road that has an M or a US or an I on it. But that, again, that money couldn't go to local roads, which we can see every day are suffering more than the freeway system. And so the governor, this was the governor's way of fulfilling her campaign pledge. She has put in $3.5 billion into roads through next year. But again, after next summer, that money goes away. Yes. By the way, we're going to owe $5.1 billion with interest over the next 20, 30 years. And this is how we've basically been fixing roads for the last 30 years in the state. Governors Engler and Granholm, they borrowed billions of dollars as well. And Governor Snyder and still Governor Whitmer are in this legislature are still paying off debts from the Granholm bonding programs. So, sure. The credit card approach to road funding is sort of is how we've band-aided along here for many years.
Yeah. When we come back, we are going to continue this conversation with Chad Livengood of Trains Detroit Business about gas taxes and the skyrocketing price of gas at the pumps. We'll also get to your calls and your social media comments. Ryan and John on the east side, Zoe and Ferndale, Jessica in Detroit. You'll be up first on the phones if you want to join them. 313-577-1019 is the number. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Facebook or to Twitter and put comments there, and we'll work you into the conversation. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.
Bringing you news that matters.
Stories that impact your life.
music from the Motor City and around the world.
This is 101.9 WDET,
Detroit's NPR station.
You're listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. If you're old enough, you remember when you used to pull up to the pump at the gas station. You would drive over a little sensor that would ring a bell inside the station so that the attendants knew you were there. The other day, when I was filling up my car, I imagined that sensor could be reinstalled, and instead of the dinging bell, they might have a ringing cash register noise because of the skyrocketing price of gas at the pumps. Everyone, I think, is watching those numbers fly by faster and go higher than they were just a few weeks ago. The truth is, the price of gas has been going up for quite some time. We're talking with Chad Livengood of Crane's Detroit Business about why that's true, and about some of the ideas to give Americans and Michiganders some relief. There is talk in Washington of suspending the 18-cent per gallon federal gas tax. And in the legislature in Lansing, they are thinking about suspending Michigan's 20-cent per gallon gas tax as well. Governor Whitner has said she will likely veto that legislation. She does not think it's a good idea to pull that money out of the Treasury. We want to hear from you as well during the conversation about what you think about these ideas, what you think about the sticker shock you're experiencing at the pump. As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Facebook or Twitter and put comments there, and we can include you in the conversation that way. We have a lot of folks queued up to talk about this. I want to read a couple of social media comments to get us started. Professor Reitmer on Twitter writes, lifting the taxes would necessarily decrease prices. The assumption is that the dealers would lower prices. There is nothing keeping them from keeping prices at the same level. Big Neo on Twitter writes, I had to call off doing rideshare to make extra money. I'll have to look more closely into it, but it looks like the extra that I was making will be absorbed by the higher gas prices. Add that to the taxes on the earnings, and it might not be worth it anymore. A really good example of how, for each of us, this is a very personal matter about our finances. Steve on Twitter says, what a privileged take, in response to Michigan Goose, who is saying, or Detroit Goose on Twitter, who says, I'm happy to see prices increase. We've had artificially low prices for too long. Too many people buying trucks and SUVs without need. The pinch will force investment in renewable energy sources. Win-win for democracy and the environment. Steve on Twitter doesn't like that take again, thinks it's a privileged one. He says this will further hurt working people and to then be happy about others suffering. There are solutions that don't target the working class, he says. Set a cap on oil companies' profits and redistribute that to the people. That's a pretty radical idea. I'm not sure how well that'd go over in Washington. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number on the phones. 313-577-1019. You can also go to Facebook or to Twitter, and we can include you in the conversation that way. Let's start today with Zoe in Ferndale. Zoe, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Steve and Chad. My thoughts on this gas tax holiday is it's just bad policy. I mean, it's a pretty small part of the price of a gallon of gas, and I kind of agree with that commenter on Twitter that the price of gas has been artificially deflated for years. We're not really recognizing the impacts of having these super large vehicles that tear up the roads more and more. EVs aren't going to solve it. They're just getting heavier. And the idea that a gas tax holiday is going to be the ideal way to help working people, I mean, the price of food is up. The price of everything is up. There has to be better ways to help people who maybe aren't driving everywhere because they can't afford all the costs that come with a car. So the gas tax holiday, not a great idea. I'm more for more targeted at people who are actually suffering instead of folks who you know, are getting hit hard by this gas tax because, like someone said, they bought vehicles that are much bigger than what they actually need.
Mm-hmm. Zoe, really appreciate the call and the comments. Really great insight there. Let's go next to Ryan on the east side. Ryan, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Steve. So what I wanted to put out, I guess, kind of as a PSA is that I save about $1 per gallon on gas, and that is through the Kroger Fuel Points program. So every time I fill up, I save 35 gallons. I've got about 10,000 fuel points. That equates to about $350 in savings over the course of a month. And that's if I fill up 10 times. I wanted to say that the gas tax moratorium, I would love to see it, but we've got to figure out ways to save money regardless of what the governor or government may do. Again, we've got the fuel points. We've got electric vehicles, which in almost every aspect are better for the environment, are better for your pocketbook. They're just all around better for the general consensus versus an internal combustion engine. There's less maintenance. They tend to not break down. They have fewer parts than they actually break down. They literally don't have a transmission, and that is what goes out a lot on a lot of people's cars, one of the first things that go out. So we really got to get around, you know, this reliance on fossil fuels, because it's literally killing our atmosphere and in turn probably killing us. Yeah. And we've got to get away from that, because until we do that, we're at a loss. And I really wish that we would stop complaining about gas prices and figure out a way to circumvent the gas. Get yourself an electric vehicle,
Ryan.
I
really appreciate the call and the insights there, Chad. It's two people both saying that this effort to suspend the gas tax doesn't make a lot of sense here in Michigan. But one thing that's kind of interesting about the conversation we're having is that the governor is calling on a suspension of the federal gas tax, but saying, of course, that she'd veto the bill to do the same here in Michigan. Spend a little time talking about that discrepancy.
Yeah, it's always more politically easy to ask someone else to take a hit in their revenue than you. That's the long and short of it. I mean, the governor and several other Democratic governors have sent letters to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and such, saying we should suspend the federal gas tax till the end of the year. Michigan Congressman Dan Kildee and Senator Debbie Stabenow are both co-sponsoring bills to do as much. And use the almost seemingly endless federal treasury to sort of bail out the highway trust fund for the rest of the year. I mean, one thing people also might be asking, well, what about that infrastructure bill, that billion-dollar infrastructure bill that the Congress just passed? For Michigan, for roads, for just straight-up money, for traditional money to go into federally funded roads, which are typically just your highways and your main thoroughfares, it's about $340 million a year more for Michigan over the next 5 years. So kind of go back to that math we talked about at the beginning of the show. We're $2 billion short just to get to good 50% of good roads. This gas tax holiday for the state would be $725 million less for this year. What if we had permanent $4 a gallon gas? Can you imagine the politics if people would say we should just not have gas tax at all? Mm-hmm. Now, one other thing here I want to kind of bring up in sort of the taxation of gasoline that I think is important for people to know is, yes, you have that 27 cents from the state. You have the 18 cents for the federal government. And then there is the 6% sales tax on gasoline and diesel fuel. And almost 100% of that does not go to the roads. It instead goes to, mostly goes to schools. A portion goes to cities, and a very small sliver goes to the general fund. Mm-hmm. So the money the cities get in revenue sharing, they could put that into city streets, but for the most part, it doesn't go directly to roads at all. And that is one of the biggest complaints and political fights about road funding and taxes on gasoline, is that now we're at $4.25 statewide average. A good 25 cents of that is being siphoned off at the pump, literally, and sent to things that don't pay for fixing the darn roads. And the problem with this is repealing the sales tax on gasoline is a $1 billion hit to the school aid fund. And nobody has got the political will to do that. Mm-hmm. And nobody has the political will to replace that with some other revenue source. We tried to do that in the state in a statewide ballot initiative back in 2015, when the legislature asked the voters of the state to increase the sales tax by one penny per dollar, in order to, in this very complicated scheme, to come up with that $2 billion a year, we would have that money more for roads, and remove the sales tax from gasoline, increase the gas tax to be basically the same tax we pay now effectively with that sales tax. It was like an equivalency proposal, and then replace the revenue lost to schools and cities with that 1 cent sales tax increase. The voters of this state gave that a resounding hell no vote. It got about 22% yes. It was the biggest thumping of a constitutional amendment that we've seen in a generation. And so we've kind of had that debate, and we've not solved that issue for people. And that's really a big hang up for people when they find out that one quarter of their $4.25 is going to pay for something other than roads.
Yeah, yeah. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones, 313-577-1019. You can also go to Facebook or Twitter, put comments there, and we can include you in the conversation that way. Let's go next to Jessica in Detroit. Jessica, welcome to the program.
Hello, good morning. Thanks Hi. For having me on.
Sure.
I just wanted to say first that the last caller was, like, right on. I totally support everything he was saying. He said it so eloquently about stopping to complain about the gas taxes and just finding a way to circumvent the gas. But also I wanted to say that without the gas tax, we could keep on having the worst roads in the country. and, you know, I just feel like as human beings, we're just so capable. We're so creative. And I think we can find a better solution. And this maybe is a good opportunity to move faster to finding a better solution that's better for our air, healthier for our lungs, for our children. I mean, it's like that we're using antiquated technology still. You know, let's move on.
Yeah. Yeah. Jessica, I really appreciate that point of view. And I think the whole idea of trying to adapt to deal with these higher prices rather than expect that policymakers will do something radical to make it different is a difficulty right now. I think it's really hard in general right now to get Americans to think about adapting or sacrifice, partially because of the tremendous sacrifices that people were asked to make over the last couple of years because of the pandemic. But I also think there's something in our culture right now that speaks to the difficulty of making these kinds of choices, making choices that maybe make life a little bit more difficult for us, but serve a different purpose. I think the sell on that has gone up quite a bit in the last few years. Again, Jessica, really appreciate the call and the comments. Let's go to Marilyn in Oak Park. Marilyn, welcome to the show.
Hello, Stephen.
Hi.
People who leave their vehicle running anywhere from 10 to 45 or even longer minutes while they browse through a store have no business pissing and moaning about gas prices. This also goes for the numbnuts who think they have to warm up their huge vehicles until there's not one ice crystal left on the surface. I do favor Zoe's suggestion to cap the prices on gas, but then again, I still believe in Santa Claus.
Marilyn, I really appreciate the call and the comments. Let's go to Joe in Rochester Hills. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, Stephen. Good morning.
Hi.
Hey, this to me, this is just another bait and switch from the Republicans. You know, I mean, why is this even on the table? I mean, I'm driving right now. I mean, I'm avoiding all the potholes, of course. You know, I mean, and they want to cut the tax. You know, that helps us fix this stuff, which doesn't happen anyway. I mean, the problem is we're back to big oil. You know, in campaigns to have us talk about not the problem, but something else. They're going to use this at the end of the year in the elections. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Koch brothers, they're still operating in Russia. If you really look at it, the oil infrastructure, our refining capabilities in the U.S. have all been geared for heavy oil. So that's a huge part of the pricing problem is the oil companies made the wrong bet. We have all kind of light crude available in this country, but we can't process it because the oil companies and the refineries made the bad move. That's their problem. But as usual, us the taxpayers, we get to pay the bill for all of private industry.
Sure, sure. Joe, really appreciate the call and the insights there. Let's quickly take Anthony in Southwest Detroit. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Morning, Stephen. I personally don't support the sanctions on Russia that were just levied, and I really don't support any sanctions the United States has on any country, and there's probably at least 18 right now. And I think that would positively affect the fuel prices, especially because these things hurt the civilian populations in each country we place them on more than anything.
So Anthony, that's a really interesting approach to all of this. Tell me what you would do instead of sanctions, I guess, to meet consequences out for a country like Russia that's now invading another nation.
Well, it is, but I don't really fall on the same opinion that what they're doing is entirely. I don't support military action in general. You should know that, but I understand why they're doing what they're doing, because if you saw what happened for 8 years previous, you'd understand why Putin's doing what he's doing. But
why he's invading another country?
Yeah, most people think he just woke up and had a bad day, and they haven't acknowledged the United States' involvement in this. So that's why I don't support sanctions.
Well, Anthony, that's not an opinion I share, and I certainly don't think that the people of Ukraine would agree with that point of view either. But I do appreciate the call and the comments. Chad, before we end this conversation, give me a sense of how this plays out politically in Lansing quickly as we get closer to the governor's reelection campaign, the legislative campaigns that will take place. Will this end up being, I guess, an issue in the fall?
I would say the pocketbook issues in general are going to be the issue of this campaign. And you know, that's why you've seen Governor Whitmer kind of try to pivot towards that. I mean, she's out talking about every day about the $400 a vehicle refund checks coming from the state's injured driver's fund that people should get before May 9th. And she made a proposal for the pension tax exemption, and she wants to boost the earned income tax credit for low-income families. And then the Republicans have come up with their own tax plan and say, hey, let's just slash the income tax rate. And now let's suspend the gas tax. never mind whether we can afford all this long term. So I think this is going to become the issue. And to one of your previous callers' point about new technologies and new ways of thinking about this, there is a study underway that MDOT's had underway for like 2 years now, looking at tolling technology and looking at other states that are starting to charge you different tolls based on if you're in the high occupancy vehicle lane. You get a discount for driving it with a carpool versus being a single passenger. And they're looking at this because at the end of the day, with electric vehicles coming at a much higher, faster acceleration right now, the gas taxes in general are dying taxes. In 2017, gas tax was $1.1 billion in revenue. The last year, even though driving was down a little bit still, it was $1.1 billion in revenue. It is not sustainable over time to maintain our transportation network with this source of revenue. And so maybe it's time to start looking at different ways that we fund roads so we're less dependent on people consuming more and more and more gasoline every year. And that's a larger debate, whether our political leaders are going to take time to have that debate. I would doubt it in an election year, but it's the one that I think the long-term policymakers and the citizens of the state need to start thinking about.
Coming up next, we are going to continue talking about roads and transportation and cars in particular. We're going to talk about the $400 rebates that Michiganders are now anticipating as part of the auto insurance reform. What is that $400 about? Is it sufficient to offset the sacrifices we made in the auto insurance reform bill? And I guess, what are you going to do with the money when you get it? Stay with us for more Detroit Today. This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. My guest is Chad Livengood, Senior Editor for Politics and Policy at Crain's Detroit Business. We have been talking about skyrocketing gas prices, the efforts to maybe suspend the gas tax, and other ways to think of bringing some financial relief to Americans. I want to pivot just a little bit now and talk about the $400 per car that Michiganders are expecting in rebates. This is part of the massive auto insurance reform bill of a few years ago. It is, for some people, going to be the first relief that they've gotten from insurance premiums in Michigan. Chad, tell us what's happening with these $400 checks, who's getting them, and why.
Yeah, so we are every driver in the state who is insured and carry insurance pays a fee every 6 months as part of their insurance policies into what is called the Michigan Catastrophic Claims Association, the MCCA. And the MCCA is an entity created by the legislature that is governed by insurance companies. And it is essentially the trust fund for the long-term care of injured drivers. And so it pays for all the expenses, medical expenses, housing, and other things that people who are in really, really terrible car accidents need if their medical bills exceed $580,000. And so there's about 18,000 drivers, many are paralyzed or on ventilators, who get their long-term care paid for by this fund. And this is the cornerstone of Michigan's unique auto insurance law. In other states, you typically end up in Medicaid and you live in a nursing home. And in Michigan, we have a fund that will pay to modify your house and pay you for up to 3 years of lost wages. And then it will pay for someone to work in your house to care for you. And so as a result of the 2019 auto insurance law, the legislature capped the payments to those home health care companies at 55% of what they were charging in January of 2019. And to do so, or in doing so, they significantly lowered the cost annually and the long-term liability for the MCCA fund. And that has generated what is described as a surplus. The surplus is kind of in debate about how much it exactly is, because we don't actually have a full view of the MCCA's books. But this refund is being paid for by the surplus generated from the cost savings and cost controls that were put in place in the law, and it's generating $3 billion. And the MCCA has transferred this money to the insurance companies. There's about 100 or 120 some companies, large and small, that sell auto insurance in this state, from AAA and State Farm down to some small little entities you'd never heard of that might have just a few dozen motorists in one city. And so those companies then have to send out these refund checks. And they have to be checks. It can't be credits to accounts. Right. It was very specific. So people should be getting, if they were insured on October 31st of last year, they should be getting a $400 refund from the injured driver's
fund. Is it $400 per policy? Is it $400 per car? What is the way they're
for car? Yep, per vehicle. Yep, because everyone gets assessed per vehicle. If you own one vehicle for a family of five, or you own five vehicles for a family of five, you're going to get a check per vehicle based on if you were carrying insurance. And I know some people that didn't have insurance at that time, and they just realized they're not going to get the check. But that's the name of the game here.
Yeah, yeah. 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. Call and tell us what you think of these $400 checks that are rebates, essentially, from our insurance premiums. I want to go to Alberta. In Detroit, Alberta, Tinsley Talabi, former Detroit City Councilwoman, former state legislator, close friend of the show. Alberta, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chef, for being here. Real quickly, it appears to me that Detroiters should be receiving far over $400. How can you make that universal for everyone in the state of Michigan when we know that Detroiters were paying sometimes five times what others were paying across the state?
Yeah. Amen, Alberta. I mean, I absolutely agree with you that the idea that this is not normed in some way doesn't make sense to me. And there are other things about the auto insurance reform, of course, that I have real issue with in terms of what we're getting in Detroit versus what's happening other places. Chad, though, talk about why it's $400 standard instead of accounting for how much people pay in different jurisdictions for their insurance. I've only got about a minute and a half left, though, Chad.
Yeah, well, we can't explain territorial pricing completely in 90 right. seconds. But basically, Detroiters are charged more based on claims, and this is a refund on a fee that everyone pays, a standard fee. It was before the reform, it was $220 a vehicle. Now it's like $86 a vehicle that you pay annually, and it's been reduced dramatically because the payments that they're going to have to pay out to these companies has been reduced dramatically. And we also should note, many of these companies have gone out of business, or they have stopped taking auto insurance patients because they simply cannot make the economics work. If you had to have a 45% haircut to your right. pay, you also might have a hard time doing the job.
Chad, quickly before we have to end, there is a lot of discussion about how this is separate from the cap on fees. In other words, that this money would exist regardless of that cap, that it's there, and that there's enough money to do it, even if you were to go back and raise fees. We've got about 30 seconds. I know it's not a lot, but address that point.
Yeah, I mean, the MCCA is a $27 billion trust fund. It's basically a pension fund, makes sure that people's care gets taken care of. And it's hard to understand how there's not enough money to continue to pay for normal costs for home health care and right. for spinal cord, brain injury, rehab, when they were just taking $3 billion out of that trust fund. And so that's one of the big ongoing pieces of debate in the legislature is revisiting those cost controls and loosening them a little bit so that these companies can actually make it and not go out of business. And because that essentially is limiting and stifling access to care right now.
Right. There is an argument that we could do both of these things. And not have one affect the other. Okay, Chad Livengood, senior editor at Crain's Detroit Business. Always great to have you with us. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
That's going to do it for us today. Tune in tomorrow when we're going to talk about soaring gas prices again and whether you've thought a bit harder about buying an electric vehicle. Some experts say they are not the environmental silver bullet that many of us would like to think. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.